This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. Now, Fight Back with Libby Znaimer on Zoomer Radio gets the job done right with help from our trusted contributors at the Ontario College of Trades.
Okay, we ran a campaign called Celebrating the Trades in partnership with the Ontario College of Trades. Zoomers were asked to nominate trade businesses that deserve to be recognized for their great work. And one of the winners is our next guest. Adam Price is an electrician and the owner of Can-Am Electric. And he's here just in time to help us sort out some of the projects that we may have in mind for the summer. Though I'm looking out the window, don't know about the summer. I'm also joined by Tyler Charlebois, the Marketing and Communications Manager for the Ontario College of Trades. Welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us back.
Thank you.
Well, congratulations, Adam.
Thank you, Libby. I'm really glad to be here.
Okay. I'm trying to think. I also want to give out our numbers again to open the lines if people have questions about renovations that are coming up, because normally this is the time of year when you do it, and there are a lot of questions, not just about electrical work, I may add. The numbers to call, 416-360-0740 or toll free 1-866-740-4740. So I'm going to start with an electrical question of my own, and that is lighting the outside and creating, you know, people now call their outside space an outside room. And in our case, there are kind of two issues. In the front, we never had electrical lighting, and it really is too dark. It's you know, quite big, and, you know, especially in the winter, I feel like, you know, really need that lighting. And in the back, where we did do lighting, the lights don't work that well. The floodlight up our beautiful tree got flooded itself, and it's just sitting there, or I don't remember if we removed it, not working. And it's very tricky to get all the other lights to work. So what do we do?
Libby, I definitely I would recommend going with low voltage lighting. Low voltage lighting is probably one of the safest things to have outside. But with anything that's outside, it requires a bit of maintenance. It's going to last for some time, and then you're going to have to just maintain it, whether it be replace a light here or go out and make sure that everything is still sealed up, and so that the I know the case that you're talking about, a light filling up with water. I've seen it many times. So sometimes you just have to get out there in silicone and seal it up. Or best thing to do is just maybe replace it. The light is maybe.
Well, I mean, these were quite expensive. Mm-hmm. They would shine up a tree, and it happened pretty quickly. I mean, they were gorgeous, I think, for a month or two. I mean, it rains. Look at the weather. Is that just something that maybe is not optimal in our climate?
I think sometimes our climate is a rough climate. A little bit of moisture gets in. We have the freezing winter. If the moisture is still there, it's going to expand and crack the different ways we use to seal around wires. It is tough, but things are always improving. And I think the way we used to tackle things years ago have improved.
Okay, so what kind of new technology is out there for?
A lot of lights are being made LED now, and I think that the connectors that we use to really seal up the wires and stuff like that have improved the water. Dealing with water is the biggest thing with lighting on the outside.
Uh-huh. But so if I can't even remember when we did this, it was probably a while ago. Is the technology better now? Should we try again?
Yeah, I definitely think that you need to do a little bit of homework. Sometimes the light fixtures that you might get at your box stores, there are other companies that do make outdoor lighting that have a bit better track record, a bit better ratings, and
we have to check all that. I'm sure we didn't. I'm sure that we hired a well recommended electrician and you know let him do his thing.
Yeah, and there's new products coming out all the time. I went to one customer, and the customer brought the lighting to me, saying, "This is the I've been doing my research. This is the lighting I found, and that had great reviews." And I went and found it for them, and put the system together, and was very happy with the lighting. So
he told you about something you didn't know about.
Yes, no, this customer he really enjoyed kind of hunting down. It was a product that we ended up finding that was made in Holland. So, but it sold here and sold at a landscaping supply store. So it wasn't something that I don't go to landscaping supply stores too often, but I tracked it down.
Okay. And have you used it since?
Yes. Yes. And it's I would say definitely evenly priced as some of the stuff that you'd find in some of the box stores. So,
okay. Yeah. We'll have to take the name of that after the show.
Yeah.
Tyler, what kinds of things do people do in the summer? And do you really have to leave a lot of things for the summer?
You don't have to leave a lot of things for the summer. It depends if you're doing outdoor work. So a lot of different projects, whether it be some electrical work that you're doing outside, doing some patio renovations, adding exterior lighting, or you know, outdoor kitchens is a new thing that a lot of people are trying to have an outdoor-indoor living space. Those renovations sometimes need to be are better in the warmer weather. No snow, depending yeah. on where you live in the province. Construction workers and those in the trades do work often in inclement weather and outside when it's raining as well. But outdoor things are good. Doing any new electrical work as well would be important. And any landscaping, right? Obviously, it's probably better more in the summer that it happens. You wouldn't do it because it wouldn't take so well.
How much, if you want one of these outdoor kitchens, whether that be, I guess barbecues or not, but how much power do you need? How many outlets do you need?
I've actually wired up quite a few outdoor kitchens, and sky's the limit on how big these outdoor kitchens can be. They usually don't require a lot of power because all the units usually run on natural gas, so you'd have to have an HVAC or a gas technician come out to hook up those parts of the project. But definitely there are some fridges. I've seen people who
Fridges outdoors.
I've seen guys who enjoy beer and they put their keg fridges there and they need power. And then you got rotisseries and they're nice kitchens.
Okay, so just tell it like okay. The fanciest ones that you've done. What goes into this outdoor kitchen?
The fanciest one I saw the barbecues that I've seen. I don't even know where they come from. I've never even heard of them, but they're huge barbecues. They've got I've seen deep fryers. I've seen skillets that go on the side for when they want to make breakfast in the morning. They have the grill there. Keg fridges
and these are adjacent to the house?
A lot of times attached to the house. Sometimes I've seen where people make full gazebos and have their kitchen away from the house, but
got to have a big piece of land for that.
You do, but they do make small versions. I've installed them on townhouses, row townhouses before, and they're beautiful.
Okay, let's take one call before the break. We've got Alec and Arthur. Hi, Alec.
Good afternoon.
You're on the air. We're listening.
Okay, I'm calling regarding my daughter's house. She has a granny flat with a garage attached, and there were two lamps on the outside of the garage. And for some reason, I don't know, a couple of years ago, they didn't work anymore. The switch, we couldn't get them on. And at the same time, there was a receptacle in the garage and also one in the attached granny flat that suddenly they weren't working. Now, there is an external receptacle that was put in for a travel bus. You know what I mean? Special receptacle.
For what?
For a travel bus.
Travel
like
bus?
Like a camper.
A camper?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I'm wondering if you would be able to hazard a guess as to what's going on here.
So as far as I understand, there's a receptacle on the inside of the garage that's not working, and
correct,
then two lights on the outside that aren't working. Okay. One thing that you have you seen any signs of like rodents in the garage? I've definitely seen times where mice can eat through the wires. That would be something that could be the problem. Is there a GFI, like the GFI is the receptacle that has a reset button and a test button? Do you have any of those in the garage?
No. Now, this external receptacle for the camper, is there an inbuilt GFI in that thing?
I don't know if there's a GFI in the camper receptacle. There might be. Well, for that, there'd probably be a breaker that in your panel that might be GFI, a GFI'd breaker.
Is there any special color for those things?
Unfortunately, different companies make different colors, so it would have a button on it. If you were to look at your panel, there would be a breaker that would have a button on it that might be tripped, and you can reset it usually yourself. If it doesn't work after that, then you should probably call an electrician.
Alec, did the...
checked all the breakers, and they seem to be... Well, they're all on, I know that, but...
Alec, did the lights and the breaker inside the garage stop working when the exterior outlet was put in, or did they happen prior to?
No, everything was there.
It's definitely a possibility too. I know in garages that people are constantly hanging up new rakes, hanging up different things. It's a possibility that a screw got driven through one of the wires, and that could easily. When a screw is driven through and it makes contact with both sides, the neutral and the hot wire, a lot of times it's a pretty violent explosion, and it usually blows the wires into two. So do you ever, when I always ask a homeowner, were they installing anything, hanging anything at the time when they noticed that this took place?
As far as I know, no.
Okay. Definitely something that would need to be troubleshot. I'm starting to run out of ideas.
It's hard to diagnose at a distance. So if the obvious things don't give the solution, you're going to have to call somebody to actually come and physically see it. But thanks a lot for your call.
Okay.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to 1. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer on Zoomer Radio.
Welcome back. I am here with our trusted contributors from the Ontario College of Trades. And we're talking about electrical work. We're talking about electrical work that you might be wanting to do in the summer. I'm here with Adam Price, who's an electrician and owner of Can-Am Electric, and we're here also with Tyler Charlebois, who is the Marketing and Communications Director for the Ontario College of Trades. We've been talking about outdoor lighting because obviously that's something you need, something you think about in the summer. We've been talking about these fabulous new outdoor kitchens that a lot of people are putting in. Some of them get really, really fancy. You need extra power for them. And people really live outdoors in the summer, though taking a look out the window, that might not be top of mind today. But you have to have power. Also, you have to have decent lighting outside your house. I was asking about my own situation where I sometimes worry that the lighting's not good enough on the little path up the house, and we don't want anybody to get hurt, especially not me walking around in high heels. So we're going to have to put some lighting in. What are some of the other common things that people do this time of year?
Well, definitely. While you were talking about that, I was thinking about the outdoor lighting, and the outdoor lighting definitely adds a great security factor to your house. Definitely draws attention to your house. So people are, if they're driving down the street, they're always going to look at a house that's lit up and take notice and be able to see if there's anyone around your house. So it definitely adds a good security factor. But yeah, most people are doing outdoor plugs that they've been missing for a long time, or working on their garage and adding in some new receptacles in the garage and stuff like that.
You talked about security. Do you do motion detectors and other security features at the same time when you're doing outdoor lighting?
Yep, definitely. We can add in motion lights. We can put timers in so that your lights will come on when you're not around. They have a lot of neat features to them now with technology moving forward so quickly. The timers can operate sporadically when you're not away, so that if there is someone watching your house, if they see the light come on every day at the exact same time, they get the idea that, okay, this is automated. But now they have built-in features to be random.
You can control a lot of these things remotely from a tablet or a smartphone or something like that, right?
Absolutely. There's a lot of great products out there. Some that are need to be hardwired from the beginning, but they've come out with a lot of great products that just connect to your Wi-Fi and allow you to control a lot of the lights, whether it be your outdoor lighting, your indoor lighting. All your lighting together can be controlled from out of province, out of country, for that matter, very easily.
Can you just give us an idea about how those things work? Is it complicated, and how is the install done? Is it a tech thing or is it an electrical thing?
Well, I'll be honest, Libby, putting in the actual switches themselves, should be done by an electrician, but the actual programming of it took about 30 minutes, and I had never done it before. And it's with the app that they've created. It is so simple. You can almost do it yourself.
30 minutes sounds like a lot to me.
30. It was quick. there was a lot of lights. A lot of lights being controlled. Probably about 20 lights. So you had to go through.
And if somebody needs a bit of help with that, do you do that, or they have to get somebody else?
Absolutely. I'm very very good with doing that now, because I have some of it in my own house, so I'm pretty comfortable with it.
Well, here's the thing, because I've seen those things advertised, you know, by cable companies, and it would be kind of a subscription mm-hmm. thing. So you don't really need to do it through you don't need to be paying the cable company more money.
No, you don't. Actually, the product that I like to use is made by Lutron. It's called Cassetta. They actually sell them at the Apple Store. You can find them on the shelf there. Lutron's constantly growing their product. Now they actually control Sonos, so you can actually have a little switch in your room and turn the volume up and down with a little remote that you can purchase.
They control Sonos.
Yeah.
Because we have Sonos. My husband hates it. Mm-hmm. I don't mind it. I don't use it that much. And can you add to a Sonos system? Is that something an electrician would do for you?
A lot of times with Sonos, I find that most of the people just need a new outlet for the Sonos, because a lot of these speakers do plug in. So that's something that we can definitely help with. And some of them do require like a Category 5 cable, which is like a computer cable,
right?
Because they sometimes drop their signal, so we can do that as well.
How complicated is it to add an outlet? I'm a veteran of quite a number of renovations, mm-hmm. all very happy with them, except every single time the electricians or the contractor would argue with me and saying, you're asking for too many outlets, and then I'm invariably short an outlet. So how hard is it to add an outlet, say, in the bathroom where there's nice tile work?
That's definitely definitely tricky. We would look at the room adjacent to it. Is there any spots in the room next to us that we can then get a wire and then bring it up into your bathroom so that we're not wrecking the tile? But I've been doing this for a long time, and I definitely like to come to the job with all the tricks that I've learned over the years. When I say that it can't be done, I've usually exhausted every idea, but I haven't had a time where I've haven't been able to get something done usually for people.
Mm-hmm. And I remember that you were mentioning once people just redesigning lighting. How big a trend is that?
Light design is something that's becoming more and more common. I actually do work for light designers, and they definitely have a skill to them. A lot of people now are moving into condos, and condos are very limited with the way that you can light a condo. So sometimes hiring in a light designer can come in and give great ideas. They have their hands on a lot of products that aren't found at any box store, aren't found always at the lighting stores. When I did my house, I've never gone out and picked lights out before, and I was baffled by how many lights there are, and it was a bit of a stressful moment. So
I remember it being quite difficult.
Yeah.
And I think that lighting tends to be an afterthought sometimes, or it's the thing that you do at the end when you're running out of money. Mm-hmm. And then you can live to regret it, you know, with that glary thing in the kitchen.
Yeah,
you can. And I think one of the things that listeners have to think about is also the lighting you require now may not be the same type of lighting or the amount of lighting you may require in a few years.
Yes.
Right? Like as your eyesight gets worse, you might need more lighting to illuminate the things that you are having trouble seeing now. Which means bringing in an electrician like Adam, someone to look at how is your light now for your needs now versus what it was 10 years ago.
Okay, so that's something Zoomers might be interested in. It might just be easier if you upgrade the lighting.
Then move your whole house. Yeah.
Yeah. And again, I hadn't realized that that's something that's an issue when you move into a condo.
Most condos are just concrete, so a lot of the options would be track lighting. But there's a lot of great and attractive track lights out there that sometimes can add light and solve the situation. But we have ways to put little pot lights in bulkheads and that, and add some light to your condo.
Okay, we're running out of time. What would you like to leave us with?
I definitely say that you should look to hire a licensed electrician, and don't ever be ashamed to ask for their credentials. Most of us have worked really hard, and would be glad to show you that we have an Ontario College of Trade certificate in our back pocket, or a master's license as well, and we'd be proud to show it to you. If anyone ever gives you any grief over that, you should
That's definitely not something you want to fool around with, is the electrical. Tyler, what would you like to leave us with?
No, I would just say, I want to thank your listeners for nominating Adam. I think that's fantastic, and we're so pleased with the program and the work that Adam is doing and being recognized for. And I would say, just to echo on Adam's point, is we have a public register on our website. It's right on our homepage, collegeoftrades.ca, where you can type in the name or the number of any electrician or any person in the trades in the 23 compulsory trades to check and verify that they are certified. So you can do that with Adam himself, and you can do that, and you should always do that with anyone you're bringing in, especially for electrical work.
Okay. Thanks so much to both of you.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.